in the legal reform movement recognized as expert in law and has helped thousands and thousands of people how to learn the law, trustee of Team Law, teamlaw.net. Teamlaw.net is the website. Eric Mattson was on with Joyce many times. We're so glad to have him back, so glad to welcome him to the Power Hour. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, we have, many of our listeners have requested you, and then we went back and forth. We finally found a time that we could meet. Really, personally, this is exciting to have you on, exciting interview. I think you're going to illuminate a lot of things that we've discussed. Over the past, year or two, whatever, we've really focused in this program on the idea of the corporate takeover of what we think of as our government. And then what does that put us at? What does that mean to us? What does that mean to most of the people in America and how important that is? In the middle of this, people are trying to find rightness, trying to find the law, trying to find the Constitution and their place and where is Thomas Jefferson gone and what have you. Eric, just give us a brief background on what piqued your interest about all this. Why are you such an advocate at this point?
Well, I've always been one that favored learning and applying the law. Always believed that it's right and proper to obey, honor, and sustain, and even comply with the law. And I believe that as a basic element in life, that in order to live in a civil society such as we might wish we had, you have to have that kind of a basic elemental agreement between all of the people in that society. So, along the way, we have beliefs about how things should be, and I owned, we had a piece of property that we owned, and the next thing we found ourselves in the midst of a lawsuit, and the attorneys around that wanted to help us with the suit were wanting retainers like $75,000 and another one was $25,000, and it probably wouldn't cover it, so we'd probably have to do that twice. And then you get into the basement level of attorneys with their standard prices of, $5,000 retainer. But when you look at their win-loss record, it's, kind of 50-50. So to have an attorney that would understand the cause and have a chance of prevailing, of course, they wouldn't guarantee that. It was going to cost us more than we were interested in. I mean, the house we were dealing with only cost $75,000, so the attorneys wanted $75,000 to protect its ownership. That would raise the cost of that house to $150,000, which we didn't have at the time. So, bottom line, I had to go out and start learning how to learn the law and apply it. And as I did, I ran into land and land patents and land law and the history and the foundation and discovered the pattern necessary to actually learn the law and which pattern would give you the ability to apply the law and then to prevail. And suddenly you have that old proverb, they shall know the truth and the truth shall set them free. Suddenly becomes apparent and real, and you can see how it works. It becomes a part of your life.
I would, talking to you, I can see why people have recommended you and your expertise. It's a real pleasure. What I would like to do here first, and we'll probably get into some of these land issues or what have you, when the Constitution was formed, the Bill of Rights, what have you, Thomas, the Declaration of Independence, it became a unique point in history, in my estimation. How unique is the Declaration of Independence and the law that was established at that point?
Well, the Declaration of Independence, other than in Colorado, isn't law, but it is the foundation upon which ultimately the laws of this nation were formed. The Declaration of Independence is simply that, which it states. It's a declaration of independence from the King of Great Britain. And that was a dramatic thing. I saw a publication about the Queen of England the other day showing that the British Empire, or the Commonwealth, as they call it now, has been growing back when Queen Elizabeth first became queen, there were 8 nations in the Commonwealth, and now there's over 50 nations in the Commonwealth. And to understand the mechanics of that, Canada is a member of the Commonwealth. And Canada, the entire nation, the entire country, the land is owned by Queen Elizabeth, by Great Britain. It's not owned by Canada or the people of Canada. It's owned by Great Britain. And that's why they call Canada a constitutional monarchy. Where we have a constitutional republic, they have a constitutional monarchy. Of course, when we look at that land ownership issue, what had happened is when the Mayflower came over and the people landed here, something very unique in the history of the world had taken place. The King of Great Britain realized that he could benefit as much by retaining ownership of by giving up the ownership of the land instead of retaining the ownership of the land like kings had always done. He could give up the ownership of the land and grant the people that ownership if he had a contract with them that caused them to have to buy their materials from him, and that caused them to be involved in commerce with him from then on. He could get everything that he would get from land ownership from the contracts that he made with those people, and he felt that because nobody would come here to the United States, when you came here to this newly discovered land, they were trying to get to India, and they ran into this massive body of land between India and Europe that is smack in the middle of the ocean between India and it ruined their path. But when they got here, they realized this is a new land, and they started making trips here, but everybody they sent here to colonize died. And so it became well known that if you get assigned to go to the Americas, it's a death sentence. So people would jump ship. They would do all kinds of things to avoid coming here. So they couldn't really establish the colonies very well. So the king got this idea that if he gave up the land ownership, something unique to kings. Kings don't give up land ownership. But if they gave up that control, the land ownership, and gave the people the right of self-government, which with land ownership, you'd have the right of self-government. So he would give them those things, and he did that, and gave them the free. He gave them all of that free at no cost. It was just a grant, and so then they had to pay for their passage, and the terms and conditions for paying for the passage were they had to give 50% of their production for 7 years off of the land. So that way, the king got the proceeds from the new land without actually having to own the new land, and the people who were working their own land with their own right of self-government would be giving him 50% of their production. And so that's what they did. And then when the 7 years was up, they formed a constitution, there were 3 states that were involved by then. They formed a constitution and created the first constitution under which the title United States of America was used, and that was the first constitution of the United States of America. Was done in Hartford, Connecticut, 7 years after the Mayflower. And there were 3 states involved and 3 major cities in one in each of those states. And that was the beginning. So that started things. And then when that 7 years was up, they had their interest in the journey paid off. But during that 7 years, they had to buy and do all their trade with Great Britain, and they didn't have any money to do that with, so they had to take loans. And as they formed the states didn't have any money, and the people didn't have any money, so they had to borrow, and the only person they could trade with and borrow from was King of Great Britain, and so he loaned them monies. So the money they were working with here in the United States of America was the English pound, and that stayed that way up until the nation got its own monetary system under the Constitutional Republic. So when you get down to the time of the Declaration of Independence, what had happened was there was the fabled date, April 19th, that has recently been quite a fabled date. Not going into all those details, but that's the date of the beginning of the war between Great Britain and the United States of America, when Great Britain attacked Lexington and Concord in an effort to stop the freedom fighters here in the United States from collecting cannons and guns and powder and shot.
Hold that thought, Eric.
War against Great
Britain. The music. By the rude bridge that arched the flood, the breeze to April's flag unfurled here once embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world, April 19, 1775. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More with Eric Mattson, thepowerhour.com, teamlaw.net.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Welcome back. back. We're talking to Eric Madsen from TeamLaw.net. I'd like to shout out to everybody over at Covenant Love Christian Center for hopefully the people there are able to listen or pass the right table to give CDs to the people. Because what we're going to go through is kind of the detailed points of, you know, from 1775, from us winning the revolution, to how we got to where we are today as a country, and the diversion from that, what we lost. You know, each step, boom, 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 here it is right here for you, so you can understand this. This is, I think, very important. Eric Manson, of course, talked about the Declaration of Independence. This came after the shot heard around the world, 1775. Eric would say that the Declaration of Independence is not law in most of America. I would disagree. I think it's a charter of our country. I think it is law. If we say it's law, it is law. And at least the idea and the concept of it is law. All the states agreed to it unanimously and declared it. So what is it? What is it if it's not law? I mean, maybe we're just differing. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too much, Eric. But to me, I think it is a natural law. But anyway, go ahead. Continue where you were, the shot heard around the world.
Well, when we're dealing with the Articles of Federation on that point, the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence is exactly what it says it is. It's not law. It's a letter that was agreed to by all of the members from each of the states, and they were states, not colonies. Each one of them agreed, and they agreed that they wouldn't sign it without being unanimous, and so they finally got unanimity on it, which is a difficult thing to do between them, and they sent it off, okay? And it was a letter to Great Britain saying, this is it. We're not going to put up with any more of your stuff where you are not obeying the law. And that was the problem. Great Britain and the king and its king were not obeying the law. What happened was after the battle there in Boston, at Battle of Bunker Hill, Great Britain pulled out of Boston and then they moved their headquarters down to New York. And then all kinds of, you know, the same kind of atrocities they were pulling elsewhere, they were pulling down there. So anyway, what happened was more and more of these things happened. What took place after that battle was a little bit of backing off, but then you had what's called the French-American War. France and England were at war, and the French had come into Canada and had romanced the Indians into Canadians up there into attacking the Americans who were from Great Britain, they say, and expanding, and they were going to, you know, the threat they were going to take over. And so the Indians with the French came to attack America. Well, when that happened, Great Britain being at war with France and France being at war with America and the Indians, fighting to kick the Americans out, and the Americans, the king came to the salvation. He had the French-American War, and Great Britain joined in as an ally. And with Great Britain's help, we fought off the French and the Indians, and we won. Okay, so when we won, the military force of Great Britain partially went back to Great Britain. It was the world's most powerful military force at the time. They went and largely back to Great Britain, but they started setting up and staging living here in America. And so the things that happened in the encroachment of that after Great Britain came and started usurping power and authority, Great Britain never... And this is not common with the history books you learn when you went to high school. So Great Britain never had governmental authority in this country. Never. It never has. This was never part of Great Britain. It was never British land. It was never Great Britain's. They tried to colonize it. They couldn't. So the king granted the people the title that he claimed for discovery. Of course, there's Native Americans here that had to be fought off or treated with. And where the Mayflower landed, they made treaties with them, and they survived. Every place else, they all died. So when you get down to this time of the Declaration of Independence, the, what was Great Britain had started formulating statutes in Great Britain controlling taxation in the United States, where they had no authority to do this. And they would take people who had altercations with British soldiers who were forcing themselves to live in people's houses and things like that, to instead of taking it up in a court action here in accord with our laws, they'd take them back to Great Britain and hold them accountable there. They would take people and seize them and put them on British ships as slaves. They were doing all kinds of atrocities like this, which is why the Declaration of Independence was written. So the people of this nation got together and through their states, governments, and these were private, independent state governments. They didn't have any formal unity between them. So they got together and they formulated this Declaration of Independence. So it was a founding document. It was something that brought them together for the first time. You had the three states with that original constitution there at Hartford, like I said, 7 years after the Mayflower had landed. But that body did not grow and become the constitution for the whole nation. So after the Declaration of Independence, which was, again, just a letter to Great Britain, it's not law, it refers to foundational law, God's law. That's law. That's foundational, and that's God's law. And the only place I'm aware of where the Declaration of Independence is law is in Colorado. And the reason why it's law in Colorado is in the Enabling Act for Colorado, it actually refers to the Declaration of Independence and its principles as the law base under which the Republic State Colorado is formed. So it's the only Enabling Act I know of that has that reference, and it's the only place in an act in law that makes the Declaration of Independence's principles the basis of law. Every place else, it's felt and believed in, but it's not written into the law where it is in Colorado. So beyond that, when we come down to the war that ensued, they formed the Articles of Confederation. And in the Articles of Confederation, the Articles defined the states as being, quote, sovereign, unquote. Now, sovereignty is a principle of law that started in Genesis 1:28. It actually starts with the creation of man, with Genesis 26 through 28. But where God, in 26 up till 28, it shows the creation of man, and the granting of man dominion, agency, and possession. So Genesis 28, where man is granted dominion over the land, the water, the air, and the things that are in them. That's the final element of sovereignty. Dominion, agency, and possession. Those three elements define sovereignty. If you have those three things over a domain of land and the property pertinent to that domain, then you are by definition sovereign. Okay? So the Queen of England is sovereign over Canada because she owns the domain, and she owns their monetary system. So she's sovereign. She's got dominion. She's got agency. She's got possession. They have the possession of the property that sits on the land, but she maintains the possession of the land, and they are her subjects sitting on land. We don't have that.
There's the music.
In the United States.
We'll get more of that on the other side of this break. Very good information. And what we've begun to lose in this country again. But we can get it back. Stay tuned. PowerHour.com.